We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, one of the great mysteries, and it's a great reality of the Christian faith and the New Testament gospel, is how that the prophecies of God came to the Jews. Jesus the Messiah was born of the Jews, and yet the Gentiles, the non-Jews, could be grafted in, become part of the covenant people of God, and would share in the blessings of salvation. Well, Romans talks a lot about that. Romans 11 continues explaining, and we'll look at this today. Plus, we'll take your calls and questions on this edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here, along with Bert Harper. And Bert, before we pick up Romans 11, I want to talk about something. I think you and everybody at AFA, I wish I could have been there, but I think you all had a pretty monumental and exciting day yesterday, didn't you?
We certainly did, Alex, and it was it's not the release, but it was a showing of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and the Battle for Decency. It is a documentary that American Family Studios has been working on for years, 2 years, and we got to see it last night, and it was a joy. We celebrated. We thanked God for what he had done through this man of God, one man who changed so much. Started out just, you know, typing and then running a mimeograph, a little letter, and mailing it out to a few folks. And now it's AFA, AFR. The ministry that we have here is amazing. And it covers Don's life from his childhood, you know, pictures of his mom and dad and events, and it's just a great time. We celebrated that, Alex. It was a great, great day.
Well, amen. Well, it's a great, great story, a great life for the gospel, but also an incredible ongoing legacy that's really touching the world now. I heard, and I've not seen it yet. I wanted to be there so badly, but I'm going to be in Tupelo next week for Share-a-thon. But I think the first voice, as the lights go down and the movie starts, the first voice that the audience hears is that of Reverend Bert Harper. Is that correct?
It is. It's that voice that I tell folks, it may not be distinguished, but it is distinctive, and you know it. But yes, Don and I, let me just say this. Don became, he was a hero who became a friend, and serving on the board with him, and then I was a part of the group, about three people that when the board couldn't meet, they had a committee, an executive committee, and I was chairman of that executive committee, and he and I had so many times together, and then Jan and I got to know Linda and Don as together, not a lot of time together, but when we were, there was just a connection there. And I tell them, folks, we both had Southern accents, and that brought us together real well. But
now was Dr. Don Wildman, was he one of your parishioners?
No, he was not. He was a Methodist. I'm Baptist. And he was assigned from when he was over in Georgia at Emory, he came over to Tupelo to a church, Lee Acres Methodist Church United. It's a different name now. And he pastored there, I think, 8 years, and then went to South Haven. And that's when God got his hand on him and brought him back to Tupelo and started American Family Association. And in those days, it was the National Federation for Decency. A few years in, they would change it to American Family Association. But he became a dear, dear friend, and just thank God for Don Wildman.
Amen.
And it's
Amen.
A good film. Our guys did a great job putting it together. They had a lot of material, so it's well worth. You can go to culturewarrior.movie and see the trailer. And then you can see how you can be a part and get that movie. It'll be released, I think, in about 25 days is the release, if I remember correctly. And you can go to culturewarrior.movie, and you can find that. And, yeah, I got to put the dot movie on there, or you'll get another book by somebody else. And but go to culturewarrior.movie.
Well, and let me say what an honor it is to be on the American Family Radio Network every day. Yesterday, I had the privilege. I was on a news show in Detroit, Michigan, and they introduced me multiple times throughout the half hour, and they would say, you know, Reverend McFarland is on every day on the American Family Radio Network of the American Family Association. And I just want to say what an honor it is to be a part of this ministry that Don and Linda Wildman started, and it's grown and grown, and it is continuing to grow, yeah. And it's a privilege to be a part of this, isn't it?
It really is, and a lot of the people who work here now did not have the privilege of knowing Brother Don. I mean, his legacy continues with Tim as our president, and I mean, it's in good hands. Got a great board of directors. I was on the board of directors several years before I came on board as a Bible teacher and working with families and pastors. And it was a joy to be on the board. Matter of fact, I got to be chairman of the board after Brother Don retired after an illness and he stepped down. I got to serve as chairman of the board for 2 years here at AFA, and it was a privilege to do that. Got to travel and meet a lot of folks during that period of time that Jen and I got to meet them. And I want to tell this. I think this is one of the neatest things that happened was after I got on board and I was coming and I was chairman of the board, I went to a big conference, and Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, was there, okay? And right, so right. I get to meet him. I walk up and tell him who I am. That didn't mean anything. But I told him I was with AFA. He said, "Well, how's Don doing?" And, people, the connections that Brother Don had with leaders all over the nation, it was an amazing thing. This guy from, Northeast Mississippi, God opened up doors, and he was a culture warrior. And with a kind heart, okay? Don't think that warrior means he was a horrible person. He was an awesome person, but he knew what was best and knew what God had called him to do. And this documentary demonstrates that. I was excited seeing it, and I'm excited for others to see it.
Amen. Amen. Well, I can't wait till it's available publicly, because I've watched the trailer a couple of times, and I remember some of those film clips from years back, and it's just amazing. And as we get into Romans chapter 11, Bert, I just want to say this, and maybe you want to reiterate, but every born-again believer, just like Don Wildman had the call on his life, I think there's a call and a plan on the life of every born-again believer. The Lord has things for you to do, Christian friend, to grow in the Lord, to be a witness for the Lord, to pray and intercede. And, Bert, I think, you know, of course, Don Wildman has an impact that touched the United States and the world, but every Christian can leave an impact for the gospel, and there's no better place to invest our life and our energies, is it?
I tell you, you're exactly right. I love purpose. You know, God's got a Amen. Will, but God's purpose for everyone is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it may happen in different ways, but it is to be that person. God saved you, and he saved you with a purpose to glorify him. Find that area. Serve him. It may be behind a pulpit. It was for me, and now behind a microphone, unreal for me. It may be that person that is taking care of the nursery. I remember a great pastor said this. He said, the most important people that come to your church are those preschoolers. They always bring somebody with them. And listen, our best teachers, with all my heart, I think they ought to be in there, and those children. And man, invest in your life. Jan and I have a dear friend, and first name Sylvia. I won't go any further, but Sylvia invested her life in children at the church where we were, and still to this day, the benefit that she shared and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's still with a lot of children today. So don't think that, oh, I can't do much. Listen, use what you have. You know, there's this judge, all he had was an ox goad, but he used it. You know, no matter what you have, use it for the Lord. And I want to tell you, let him give the increase, Alex. And he did with Don Wyman, and he can do it with those who are listening today.
Amen. Well, we are in Romans 11. And, you know, Bert, as I read 17 and following, again, as is so often the case, it reminds me of my time growing up on the farm where you've got a field and you plant. We grew lots and lots of corn. But, you know, there's a thing. Maybe a stalk of corn would be way out on the side that wasn't really in the field. And maybe a seed dropped out of the planter as we were turning the tractor around. Or maybe it was pollen and what we call volunteer. You ever heard that phrase, Bert?
You bet. You know, volunteer, yes.
Did we sow green beans over here? No, that's just volunteer.
Yeah.
Let me read something. And it really is a warning because, okay, Romans 1:16, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Now, sometimes Jewish people didn't believe the gospel then and now. But even though the gospel for the last 2,000 years, not completely, but to a somewhat larger degree, it's been in the hands of Gentiles. We don't get proud about that and boast. Paul says, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if you boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Okay, here's the thing. If you're going to rejoice and be giving praise, praise God that you've been found of the gospel. But it's beautiful. The branches, it speaks of plants intentionally cultivated. And the phrase in verse 17, wild olive tree, speaks of a plant that it wasn't cultivated out in the field by the farmer, and yet it came along. And, you know, the Holy Spirit of God is working in people. The gospel is going forth. And in verse 18, I'm going to say this. I'm going to throw it back to you. Let's not ever get too proud and think, well, what is their problem? They didn't believe. It's as clear as day. No, we can't boast against the branches that got broken off. And we shouldn't be too prideful about the fact that we got grafted in. We need to praise God and humbly realize in a world of lostness and sin, that unsaved soul could have been ours. And yet we heard the gospel and believed in Jesus. Bert, I think as long as we're alive, we need to be in awe, wonder, and gratitude for the fact that we've heard of Jesus and had an opportunity to respond.
Amen, Alex. Again, chapters 9, 10, 11, talking about Israel, they were the olive tree. A lot of them did not believe. They were the branches. But those of us who were Gentiles have been grafted in. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 24 real quickly. Got about 30 seconds in because we're going to get there, but this is neat. For if you were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more with these who are natural branches be grafted in? Now, the whole idea was you usually take a good branch and graft it into a wild stump, but this is right reverse. God does things a little differently, and we're going to be back to talk about it right after this.
I'm Rick Scarborough, and this is My Take. A total of 468 seats in the U.S. Congress, 33 Senate seats, and all 435 House seats are up for election on November 5th, 2024. The choices could not be starker. The results of this election will dictate whether America makes an abrupt course correction or barrels further down the road to Marxism and away from God's design as laid out by our founding fathers. Will you bother to vote? I believe that for Christians who are listening, you don't have a choice. God expects his followers who live in America to vote and to vote biblically. I hear all the excuses that people make, but for believers, no excuse is acceptable. Neither candidate is perfect, but there's never been a perfect candidate. We are not voting for national pastors, but rather for national leaders, for the best men and women who will uphold our Constitution. I'm Rick Scarborough, and that's my take.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the vice president nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chances at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax-deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and storm.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Burt Harper, Alex McFarland, and we're in the book of Romans chapter 11. It's a great, great chapter. Alex did a great job of applying it to our individual lives where we are grafted in. And Paul was writing this church at Rome, setting them up, took mostly a Gentile church in Rome. And he said, don't get so haughty and proud concerning you, who you are, and you're not Jews. You were grafted in to that olive tree that they started in. Later on, we're going to get to be talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and how they were the forerunners. They were the guys that started it, and God still has a plan for the Jewish nation. Alex, before we go any further, just looking at Scripture, I just got to say this about Israel. If those of you that do not believe, those of you who are listening, do not believe God has a special plan and purpose and future for Israel. You just need to do some studying. You don't have to study the Scriptures. You could just look at history and tell how unique this people they are, scattered all over the world for so many years, and then in 1917 and during World War One, and then especially after World War Two, as they came to that strip of land that God had already given them, and they occupied it. I'm going to say this word again, Alex, occupied it once again and became a nation and was recognized as a nation in 1948. If you can't follow that, it's miraculous, isn't it?
Well, it really is. I mean, there's nothing like it else in history. I mean, a nation non-existent for 1900 years, Hebrew, a dead language. Today, they call it one of the world's power languages. I mean, there's so much. We've talked about how Israel is so distinguished. The world's shortest subway system, a mile and a half long, more entrepreneurial startup business millionaires than anywhere else on earth. And every time you've ever logged onto the internet since 20 plus years ago with America Online, the software that enables browsers, Firefox, Google, those kind of browsers, all that software was written in Jerusalem. One of the biggest producers of pharmaceuticals. And I mentioned this, I learned this. Do you know Cheetos? We all like Cheetos. Invented in and mostly manufactured in Israel. I mean, it's amazing. And you got to understand, 76 years ago, that nation, well, 77 years ago, that nation didn't exist, came into existence May 14, 1948. And hands down, and I've heard this from many sources, the best military intel in the world. I mean, Israel, the nation, the Jewish people, it is a miracle, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. And again, I read this 9, 10, and 11, and I see it, especially here in chapter 11, I would say, how they're grafted in, and you see the covenant that he makes with them, and he's going to remember it, the promises he makes. And what you've been doing, you look at this, and let me read this, and I'll get to at least verse 25, and we'll talk about it. But it says, after Alex, we read through verse 18, you will say then, this is verse 19, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, that's to the Gentiles, yes. Well said, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. You did, not by haughty, not but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Don't get too haughty, you Gentiles. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Again, the hope of Israel as a nation. For if you were cut off out, if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Now, Alex, again, verse 24 just intrigues me. The natural way of grafting is to take a wild tree, break off the branches, trim the branches, and then graft in the fruitful tree, the good tree. I've seen apple trees done that way, peach trees. It gives it a stronger base and give the limbs a little strength. But here it's right reversed. Sounds like God. Let me see. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. God, these have come to have turned the world upside down. God has his own economy, doesn't he?
Well, he really does. And that's why the wisest thing we can do is learn to walk by faith, not by sight. And Bert, I've had to kind of learn this the hard way in stumbling and you know, trying to do my best. I tend to walk by sight. And yet God invites us to walk by faith and to trust him. That's why the wisest thing you can do, the best favor you'll ever do yourself, is to trust God and what he says. Because who would have ever believed, in the 18th and 19th centuries, some really fanciful theology was crafted. Because how do you account for end times prophecies when there was no nation of Israel? And there were different ones, and some even still to this day. They came up with some ideas. They said, well, the book of Revelation is history, not prophecy. And that's called preterism. Because why do we think Revelation might have been past history? Well, there is no nation of Israel. How can all this stuff go on in Jerusalem? There is no Jerusalem. Maybe it's all just, you know, allegorical. Well, boom, Israel was reborn. And here we are in what I think very well might be the last of the last days. My point in this is, you know, when it talks about Jesus is a stumbling block, you read about this cornerstone, you know, that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The idea of salvation by grace through faith, it's not works. We're a sinner, and we're separated from God, and that's bad. But God loves us. So do we work our way out of this hole? No, you can't. But you put your faith in Jesus, who paid the debt, finished the work, and we get redeemed and restored. It's not what man would have thought of or could have thought of, but the good news gospel is from the heart of God himself.
Amen. When we could not go to him, he came to us. Listen to that. There is no way we get to God on our own. So what did he do? God so loved the world that he sent and gave his only begotten son that he might come on the greatest rescue mission in all the world and give his life a ransom, paid the price, and then overcame death and sin, the two things that man cannot overcome. He overcame them. And by faith, as you said, Alex, we join him. We become, by faith, we become joint heirs with him in our inheritance for heaven and all that he has. It's a story that only God could share and only God could make real. It's not just a story of make-belief. It's a story of reality that's only in Christ Jesus. Now, Alex, again, I love this. I want to go ahead, verse 25, real quickly, if you don't mind. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion that hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, we could look at this whole verse, but the key that I want to look at, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Right now, we can say we're in the church age or the fullness of the Gentile. That doesn't mean that Jews cannot be saved and they're not being saved. They are. They're there. We're the church. We're the body. But there's going to come a time when the fullness of the Gentile has come. Someone said there's some until verses in Matthew and in Luke, and it has this until certain things. The church is going to do good until. And until then God is going to do what? And so all of Israel will be saved. When? Not meaning every Jew, but when the fullness of the Gentiles has happened and those that are Jews see Christ coming back, Alex, there's going to be a mass deliverance of the Jewish people into Christ. That's what Paul is trying to get the Gentiles to see. We need to be busy right now. Don't look down on those Jews. We've been grafted in. We're together, serving the Lord together. But one of these days, when we have been cut off, or our fullness comes, there's going to be a great reward for those that are Jews who believe and trust Christ, isn't there?
Amen. Amen. Well, there is, and you know what I think? I got to read verse 28. As concerning the gospel, Paul says, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now, there are promises to national Israel. There are promises to individual people throughout history, whosoever will may come. Bert, did you ever hear of the Jewish, born-again Christian Jewish musician and singer? He's amazing, Marty Goetz. Did you ever hear of Marty
Goetz? Yes, I have. Yes.
He's got a famous song called A Jew Born Anew. And great Christian guy. I was speaking at the Cove a couple of years ago, as I'll be next summer. But Marty Goetz did the music, and it was just fantastic. But he talks about when he shares his salvation testimony, he said, I was just a good Orthodox Jewish boy minding my own business, and I found Jesus the Messiah. And, I think about this. There are unbelievers everywhere. And right now, because of their sin, of course, they're separated from God, as sin separates all of us from God till we get saved. But like verse 28 says, regarding election, beloved for the Father's sake. Now, I said this last week with Jeff Shambly. I'm going to say it again. Here's a test and how you can find out, friend, if you are one of the elect. You say, could I be saved? If you will truly turn from sin, put your faith in Jesus, and pray and receive Christ as your Savior, put your faith, your belief in Jesus, well, guess what? It turns out you were one of the elect. Praise God. You know, a Jew or Gentile. And so even though there are people that have Jesus, there are people that need Jesus. Whosoever will, if they will, may come to Jesus.
Amen, Alex. What a story and what an invitation it is for those who are listening. If you've never come to Christ, you can come to Him today by faith, and that's what we desire. Now, Alex, it says, notice, beloved for the sake of the fathers. As you read this and you read verse 27, my covenant, and you see what's going on, it shows it's going back to the faith of Abraham. You know, it also about David. You know, for David's sake, guess how long they stayed on the throne of his lineage again and again until God took them into exile. But then Jesus was born out of that lineage. God's plan is what? Irrevocable, verse 29. And he's got this plan for Israel. And listen, Iran can come against them. The Hezbollah can come against them. But God's plan will be carried out. Man will not change the ultimate purpose for Israel, nor his ultimate purpose for his church. Alex, I love that passage about God's, he's faithful even when we are faithless. That's our God, and he is letting them know at Romans, God has this for you, and we need to make the most of what God has given us at this time. The future's the future. The past is the past. But I have given you this time in history for you to be the person God's going to use. Just like we talked about Don Wildman as a culture warrior, that was his time to be used. It may be, though, someone who is listening right now, this is your time for salvation. As Alex said, make sure your election is sure. How do you do that? Trust Jesus Christ, and you're a part of it. And then, Alex, his purpose, he may have something special for somebody that's listening to us today. It may be a missionary somewhere. It may just be someone that God's called to be that Sunday school teacher to those boys and girls that they can see Christ in them. God's purpose and God's calling, are they worth following, Alex?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, people will ask, and we had this with 1,200 teens this summer, how may I know God's will for my life? Pursue God. I mean, now, assignments come along, circumstances come along, but if you want to know God's roadmap for your life, obviously it begins with getting saved, but as a Christian, pursue God and grow in your relationship with the Lord, because God has things for you, and oh my goodness, I think you and I both could testify to this end. I never dreamed the wonderful adventure that we've been on with and for Jesus. Now, let me say this. Verse 34, let me read, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever."
Amen.
You know, regarding our nation, our world, and our personal lives, the wisest thing we can do, put it in God's hands, because he is in control.
We can trust God. That number, give us a call, 888-589-8840.
God raises up leaders who follow his direction and serve him faithfully.
Reverend Wildman.
Reverend Wildman.
The Reverend Donald Wildman.
Those who refuse to compromise his standards.
Things were changing, and many people just sort of acclimated to it, and Don Wildman didn't.
Here in the Christmas season of 1976, I sat down one night to watch television.
I became angry that night. I left the parish ministry and founded the National Federation for Decency.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war,
We're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie. Culturewarrior.movie.
You are strong and mighty. There's no one else like you. You are great and powerful. No one can do the things you do. You're the beginning and the end. You're the peace I find within. You're a great God. You are great. You're a great God. You are great.
Amen. Amen. God is a great God. Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper, and you're listening to Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network. We're going to go to Bible questions in just a moment, and you can call in toll-free nationwide with a Bible question. The number, if you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. It's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And Bert, as we go to the calls, let me just very humbly ask that people would pray for my home state of North Carolina. I'm sure people saw the devastating, just unbelievably devastating floods. People have died. Entire little mountain towns are wiped out up there near Asheville, Buncombe County, something like 19 counties with 75 to 95% power outages. Bridges are out. Interstate 40 near the Tennessee state line is out, and our church, South Elm Street Baptist, is sending helpers, and we're doing what we can do. And of course, there are many, many great organizations like Samaritan's Purse, but I mean, there we know a lot of folks up there. People have asked if Angie and I are okay. Thank you for the concern. We live about 2 hours east, so we're fine. But Bert, Western North Carolina, I just don't ever know that there's been a natural disaster on this scale.
I've seen the pictures. It is devastating. Apocalyptic. We don't throw that word around, but that is the word. I would say when you see Chimney Rock, a small town just completely demolished, just so many of them. And so we're praying and asking God to do a great work. Use this in the lives of people. Only our God could take something like this and do something with it that would cause even some good. Now, again, that's God doing. It's not God causing everything, but it is God who is able to take that and do amazing things. So we're praying for that out. I think we should pray. I've thought about this today. Yeah. I think we need to take time out each day this week and pray. Would that be all right with you?
Lead us.
I will do it. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. And we do live in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. And that means floods come. It does mean that the winds blow harshly. And Father, we trust you in all of it. We don't understand it all. We can't be safe from all of it physically, but we can be saved and know that we're right with you. And I pray, Father, for those that are that have lost loved ones there in North Carolina and South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, all over that area, Father, that you would be with those families, strengthen them. Some of them, they haven't even found bodies. There's that many missing, and that's got to be difficult and hard. So, Father, we pray for them. We pray for the workers who are there, the emergency teams, that the electrical guys, the people cutting those trees away. Father, all the things that are going on, I pray, God, that you would help them. But I pray more than anything else that you would touch people's lives spiritually, that they would see the only one in the midst of the storms, just like those guys on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus did say, "Where's your faith?" But they knew where to go, and they went to Jesus, and he brought them through. Father, bring them through. May we trust you. We trust you completely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bert, thank you for that wonderful prayer. Well said. We're going to start in South Carolina. Faith in South Carolina, you're the first caller on today's edition of Exploring the Word.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
Praying for North Carolina. Thank you. South Carolina. But I am witnessing to someone. And I gave them the plan of salvation. And they asked me a question that I wasn't really sure how to answer. I didn't want to put my opinion in it, but I wanted to be able to turn to God's word. He asked me, is it a sin not to believe in Jesus?
Okay.
And my first response would have been about having a hard heart. But I wasn't sure if that was the unpardonable sin that Jesus warned about against the Holy Spirit, when the Pharisees and Sadducees actually saw the Messiah in front of them and refused to believe him. So I'm going to stop and...
Thank you, Faith.
Listen to your response. Mm-hmm. That.
Thank you for witnessing. Thank you for sharing.
Amen.
Listen, that those without faith, it is sin. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the word faith comes from a word that means trust, confidence in. It comes from a word like you confess. It means agree with or roll over upon. And that's what you do. And without that, to believe in Jesus, Alex, in him mm-hmm. or about him, you know, either way, Jesus is the centerpiece of it all, isn't he?
Yeah, and faith, and by the way, you've got a great name, and you're walking in faith by being a witness for Christ. I commend you. But in Revelation 21:8, you know, Revelation 21 talks about heaven and those that are there, and, you know, they're saved, and they inherit all things. Verse 8, though, says, but the fearful and unbelieving do not inherit the kingdom of God. It lists all these people, murderers, sorcerers, idolaters, who have their part in the lake of fire. So, yes, it is a sin not to believe in Jesus. And part of the double danger is believing in Jesus, a relationship with Christ, the Son of God, is the only way for our sin problem to be resolved. And so... it's a very fearful thing to have heard the gospel, to know about Jesus. He is the opportunity for salvation, and to not respond and to reject it. Now, I've had people say, you know, I heard the gospel for years and I finally got saved. Praise God. But Bert, we've got a double-fold problem. We're sinners. We're separated from God. But then, I think the judgment is compounded for those that spent multiple times, maybe even decades, knowing about Jesus, still refusing to believe. It really is a matter of the will, isn't it?
It really is, Alex, and you said it will. I would say this. The further you go after you've been convicted that you're a sinner, lost, and the longer you put it off, the greater danger of your heart growing harder. And you know, what is that? Sin takes you further than you want to go, costs you more than you want to pay, and keeps you longer than you want to stay. You want your sins forgiven now. And so faith, keep doing that. And yes, make it all about Jesus. That's who it is. He's the centerpiece. Yes. Go ahead,
Amen.
Alex.
Well, this is Dee in Kansas, and I'm going to be in Wichita, Kansas next February. We'll talk about that later, but Dee in Kansas, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, and I'll have to look you up when you're in Wichita. I'm close to there.
Amen.
My question is, I have not walked with God for a real long time, but I've known about him since I was a child. But my church never taught me to study the Bible. And so just in the last 10, 15 years, I've started studying. I found a preacher on the TV that really made it simple and easy for me to understand some things. And like you, he gave the definition of the word in Greek and other languages, and I was really enjoying that. And then he was gone one day. And he has been removed from all TV and radio, and he committed sins in his early life, and and he says he's been forgiven, and yet the part that's missing is I don't know if he misrepresented that sin to the people that he was involved with. But I have all these programs on DVD, and I'm like, should I continue to study with him or not?
Okay, Dee, thank you for your call. Alex, let me say one thing. I had a conversation, matter of fact, with our pinch hitter, Jeff Shambly, Monday, and we were talking about certain things, like Dee was talking about an individual and what's happened. Something recent has happened to a man that we just find it hard to believe. I want to pass this out, and I want you to answer, but let me give this to everyone who is listening. The filling of the Holy Spirit is for living. Be filled. If you're filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit and walk not in the spirit of the flesh. Don't walk that. The filling of the Spirit is living, is for living. The anointing, the unction, the power that God gives for a task is, you don't live on that, Alex. Samson's the best illustration of that I know of anywhere. Notice, now again, that was the Old Testament, but what would happen to him? At certain times, the Holy Spirit would come upon him, an unction, a power, and he could do great and mighty things, okay? So there's preachers, and they're not living in the Spirit. They're not filling the Spirit, and they're living their life, but they still are preaching the Word because the Word of God will not return unto them void. And honestly, there's not a qualification for that concern if they're not living in sin. The Word of God is the Word of God no matter what, and some people are effective at it. Listen, I want you to answer D, but let me just share all of those out of you who are out there. Walk in the Spirit and fulfill not the spirit of the flesh. Let God reign in your life. Let him have your way. He wants to attack you, bring you down. And just like D, having to deal with this individual because of sin in their past or whenever it was, let's stay with God. Alex, go ahead. I just wanted to throw that in today, an encouragement for people.
Dee, let me encourage you to pray about that. And, you know, this is why it is so tragic when a Christian falls into sin. I think about Ravi Zacharias. I mean, I knew Ravi pretty well. He spoke for us multiple times. He wrote incredible apologetics books. And then just shortly after he died, some very, very, very heartbreaking things came out about him. And so, you know, the publisher ceased production of his books. And I had several of my books where I had quoted him, and I had a footnote. And my publisher, for a couple of my books, said, look, when we do the next batch, you know, we want you to find a different quote or somebody, quote C.S. Lewis or somebody, because there's too much baggage attached to his name. And, you know, D, you know, whether you should still listen to this guy, you'll have to determine that. The deal breakers, do they preach the Word of God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I will say this, though, you know, the great physician should not operate with dirty instruments, if I could say that. In a doctor's office, there's a thing called an autoclave where the instruments are sterilized. And if we're going to be in the ministry and preach the gospel, now we're all sinners, nobody's perfect. But I mean, the Bible is clear. You know, adultery, immorality, you know, we need to, if we're going to preach it, we better live it. And Bert, when a Christian, especially a visible Christian, falls, there's a lot of collateral damage, isn't there?
It is. And if you've lived as long as I have and seen what's happened, listen, start with God, stay with God, amen, and end with God. Let's stay with him. I'm just imploring all the believers out there, especially those who have areas of influence. Let's stay with God. And listen, we hold each other accountable. And amen. And listen, let's do it. It's our prayer, because we're all vulnerable. All it takes, amen, is one horrible, bad decision. And so that's our prayer. Dee, thank you for calling.
Sean in Michigan, thank you for holding. Sean, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, I've been a friend of the Jews for a long time, and you guys, I've been following AFR for, I don't know, probably 15 years or
wow,
something like
thank
that.
Thank you.
You guys are just that great. Praise Jesus. But I realized not too long ago, with all that's what's going on in the world, and Jan Markell, I follow a lot of her.
Amen.
And I realized it's difficult or impossible, perhaps, to have friendship, allegiance to with the Jews, the Jewish state, if without a dispensational worldview, because the end times, their involvement, how they deal in the law, and it seems like they would rather be under the strict law. So that's probably Jacob's trouble where they return to the Lord, all this stuff, and the Old Testament, and.
Sean, yeah, real quickly, I hate to interrupt, but we got a minute left. Can you make your ask your question and Alex take it out?
That's it.
Okay, Alex, go
how
ahead.
How to be friends. You know, let me say, pray about that. It's been our privilege to, Angie and I, befriend many Jewish people that, I mean, are authentic friendships. They know that while we disagree theologically, we genuinely love them as friends. Over the last 30 years, I've seen a couple come to Christ, but I think it's, even though it might be a challenge, we need to love on and befriend all the Jews that come into our life because they are precious people, and we need to represent Yeshua to them.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, one of my best friends is Jewish. God delivered him, and listen, he is a follower of Yeshua, and those others can as well. Tomorrow we'll continue in the book of Romans.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.